of the Jewish holidays, festivals, feasts, there are many different names that Shavuot goes by. You know, the one that most people here know, Shavuot, it's a Hebrew word. It's based from the Hebrew word Shavuot, which means weeks, counting off the weeks, as we're told, between Passover and Shavuot, that counting of the Omer. Others know it as Pentecost. That's a Greek word, which means 50, count again, referring to the number of days between Passover and Shavuot. Some call it Chag HaKezer, meaning the harvest of first fruits, the harvest, particularly the wheat harvest that this time of the year is called towards. Chag Bikurim, the festival of first fruits. It's another name in scripture about it. And finally, our people call it Zaman Matat Toratenu, the time of giving of the Torah. All of them descriptive of the time of the season that we're in. For many, when you read the commentaries or you speak with people, this time of Shavuot is actually, in their mind, they think of it as a continuation of Passover. It's just something that goes on. We see that we remember the Passover as a giving, as giving thanks for that physical freedom that we received from Egypt. And then we count the Omer, the 50 days, the 7 times 7 plus the 1, to Shavuot, the time of that we remember that spiritual freedom we get from the giving of the Torah on Mount Sinai, as well as the giving of the Ruach HaKodesh that we see in Acts 2 in the upper room in Jerusalem. Now, of course, we get our instructions for Shavuot in Leviticus. Leviticus is that chapter, Leviticus 23 is that chapter that we can gain almost all of our instructions on which days are when, which feasts are when. So let's take a look at Leviticus 23, 15 through 16. If you have your scriptures, open them up. If you have your phone, open it up. If you don't, I'll be reading it out online. You guys are blessed. You can still see them on your screens. So Leviticus 23, 15 and 16 says, "Then you are to count from the morrow after the Shabbat, from the day that you brought the Omer of the wave offering, 7 complete Shabbat, until the morrow after the 7th Shabbat, you are to count 50 days, and then present a new grain offering to Adonai." So that's how we come up with the date for Shavuot, for Shavuot. It's the second, actually, of the 3 major festivals that have both a historic and agricultural significance to them. The other two being Passover and Sukkot, which are also, with this one, called pilgrimage feasts. And they're called pilgrimage feasts, of course, because all the men were expected to go up to Jerusalem, regardless of where they were. They were to go up to Jerusalem on these 3 days. And many of the times, they'd bring their families with them. Most of the time, we see them bring their families with them. We even see that Yeshua's family went up during these days. Well, for Shavuot, what they would do also is it's the time that they would bring their harvest offering to them, their wheat offering to them. So they would dress up an ox. They would make it pretty. They would even put gold gild on their horns, put flowers over it, and then they would put their offering on the cart behind it, and it would turn into a parade. There would be music. There would be joy. It was a good time. People came together. They understood what was going on. It was the Lord they were celebrating. It may have been wheat that was on the cart, but it was the love of the Lord and the provisions of the Lord that they were celebrating. Well, the rabbis have attached a historical meaning to Shavuot as well. It celebrates, as I had said earlier, the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai. For Jewish people all over the world today, these last 2 days, yesterday and today, they celebrate and they remember the Lord, the law being given on Mount Sinai. And they've put great importance on it. And in fact, in today's synagogues, it has greater importance than what the instructions were in Scripture today. Many don't even attach that it's a harvest festival any longer. To them, the overriding meaning is the giving of the law. And that's not to say that the giving of the law is not important. Not at all. I mean, hey, you know, the giving of the law is the reason that we're able to celebrate, the reason we know where our salvation comes from. It's all based on law, on the law. But I don't think that this should supersede the scriptural meaning of the holiday for us at all. Because it's the connection of the harvest with the law that makes us messianic, that makes us messianic Jews. It's the ability to say what the Lord has done for us through not just the harvest and giving us the ability to gather, but also his giving of the law for us and to us. So this counting of the Omer that we just went through between Passover and Shavuot should have been a time of great anticipation. That was tough during all this social distancing. It was hard, I bet, to keep in the habit of making the count. It was hard, to feel the anticipation build. We couldn't be with each other saying, what day are we on? Where are we? But it should have had some kind of importance because it connects that Passover and the Shavuot. My mouth just keeps saying it in a different way each time, doesn't it? Shavuot. We have to remember the freedom that Passover gave us. That physical freedom from bondage. But we also have to remember the Torah that the Lord gave us. It was a way of being redeemed spiritually and a way of being redeemed physically. It helped us to understand how that idolatry and immorality can be removed from us, how we're forgiven from all of those sins that our flesh just gravitates to. If we're flesh, you're sinful. We try to control our flesh as much as possible. But, maybe it's just me. But my flesh is pretty strong. And I'm constantly having to push it down. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm not 100% successful. I really want to be, but I'm not. But I know through the grace of Adonai that he helps me through these times. And he cleans me off. And he picks me up. Israel and our people, they know the way of being atoned for because of Torah. It was because of Torah that we get the Levites and the Kohens to help us, to advance us, to help us move past the sins that we have, the sins that we do. Now, as I said earlier, Shavuot is known as Pentecost, and the church has its Pentecost as well. They count it from between Easter and Ascension. And, you know, I read these commentaries, and the Jewish people want to say, the rabbis want to say, there is no connection between the Jewish Pentecost and the church Pentecost. The Catholic Pentecost and our Pentecost, totally different, totally different. But that's not true. That's just not true. And by breaking the connection between the giving of the law, the harvest, the giving of the law, the ascension, what it's doing is it's separating the people from Adonai in reality. It's separating the Messianic from the Judaism. It separates the one who already came for us from him himself, Adonai. Now, when we read through Scripture, there's really not a lot of direction on how to celebrate Shavuot. You know, we get a little bit of it in Leviticus. So let's go back to Leviticus 23. And we're going to start in 17. We're going to read 17 to 21. Because here's the bulk of the directions that we get. All right? Starting in 17. You are to bring out of your houses two loaves of bread for a wave offering, made of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour. They are to be baked with hummus as first fruits of to Adonai. You are to present, along with the bread, 7 1-year-old lambs without blemish, 1 young bull, and 2 rams. They will become a burnt offering to Adonai with their meal offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to Adonai. Also, you are to offer 1 male goat for a sin offering and a pair of year-old male lambs for a sacrifice of fellowship offerings. The Kohen is to wave them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before Adonai with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to Adonai for the Kohen. You are to make a proclamation on the same day that there is to be a holy convocation, and you should do no regular work. This is a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. So here's the instructions. Count off 49 days, and on the 50th day, present the offerings to Adonai in Jerusalem and keep it as a Shabbat. That's it. You know, where are the detailed instructions that we're so used to? You know, where's the instructions on what to do with the blood? Where's the instructions on what to do with the animals after the sacrifice? You know, what happened to carve it up this way and this part goes outside the camp, or take the whole animal and put it on the altar and burn it totally and make sure you do this and make sure, for people who are used to getting a lot of instructions, we don't get a lot of instructions for Shavuot. The details are just kind of light. You know, go do it. Here, do this. Make sure you do this as this. And then go have it. Go have at it. That's just not what we're used to from Scripture. Now, it does tell us to take 2 loaves of bread. It tells us that in verse 17. Why two loaves of bread? You know, you'll see a lot of different things. And, you know, basically it comes down to Adonai said so. Sometimes, you know, when you speak to Jewish people, and you, why do we do this? Adonai said so. That's not a bad reason. But Adonai has reasons for everything. So why two loaves of bread? Well, we know Adonai does not always reveal all his plans all at once. Some of the plans remain a mystery until he decides it's the right time to reveal it. Looking back from what we know now, one of those loaves of bread represents the Jewish people, and one of those loaves of bread represent the Gentile people. Although there's nothing in the Old Covenant that specifically states that the Gentiles were represented there, we do see that there is a mystery spoken about within the New Covenant about what was going on in the Old Covenant when it's referring back. Let's just take a moment and look at what Rav Shaul says about the mystery in his letters. Let's look what he says in Romans. His letter to the Romans in chapter 11. All right? Chapter 11, starting in verse 25, says, "For I do not want you, brothers and sisters, to be ignorant of this mystery, lest you be wise in your own eyes, that a partial hardening has come upon Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved, as it is written, the deliverer shall come out of Zion. He shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins." Shaul brings up that there's a mystery. He tells us that the mystery has to do with both the Israelites and the Gentiles and their deliverance from ungodliness. Now, to find out what this mystery really is, we need to go back just a couple more verses to find out what this mystery is. Let's start in verse 22 of Romans 11. "Notice when the kindness and severity of God, severity towards those who fell, but God's kindness towards you, if you continue in his kindness, otherwise you too will be cut off. And they also, if they do not continue in their unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of that which by nature is of a wild olive tree, and grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will those natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree?" We have to remember that the book of Romans was written to a Gentile congregation. Mostly a Gentile congregation. So when Rav Shaul talks to them, he speaks to them knowing that they have a Gentile background. And when he speaks of the mystery, he says, is that not only are the Gentiles to be saved by the grace of Adonai through Messiah Yeshua, but so are the Jewish people. And it could even be said in the other direction, we're working around, that not only were the Jewish people to be saved by Adonai, the God of Israel, but so were the Gentiles to be saved by the same grace, which is the knowledge of the God of Israel and his Messiah. Then take a look what he says a little bit later in Romans, starting in chapter 16 at 25 through 27. "Now, to the one who's able to strengthen you according to my good news and the proclamation of Yeshua the Messiah, according to the revelation of the mystery which has been kept secret for long ages, but now is revealed and through the writings of the prophets has made known to all the nations, according to the commandment of the eternal God to bring about obedience of faith to the only wise God through Yeshua the Messiah, to him be the glory forever. Amen. He says the mystery which was kept secret for long ages. He says it was in the writings of the prophets. What prophets was he talking about? He was talking about Isaiah. He was talking about Jeremiah. He was talking about all the writings, all the prophets of the Old Covenant. How do we know this? There was no new covenant yet. All the prophecies spoken of are in the Old Covenant. But he says that it was kept secret for many ages. You know, I think about this way. Now, I don't know how many of you are into the Marvel movies. Or maybe you're into Disney movies. But you ever hear of an Easter egg in the movies? Right? What do? They take this little thing and they insert it somewhere in the movie, and it's sort of hidden there. And you can watch this movie and never see it. And then someone says, did you see this part that refers to the next movie? They gave us a hint of what was going to happen in the next Marvel movie. And you look at it, now that you know the second movie, you look back at the first one, you go, oh yeah, how did I miss that? Oh yeah, it's been there that whole time and I never saw it, but now I can't not see it. Now it just seems so obvious to me. And every time I see this movie, I'm going to know it was really talking about the next one when it did that. I mean, those are neat little things to see. Rav Shaul says, look at the prophets. There are Easter eggs all over. And I know Easter may not be the right word to use in the synagogue, but what are you going to do? There are Easter eggs. There are these little eggs all over to tell you what's going to happen. They're called prophecies. But what they really are these little things there to tell you what's going to happen. And the thing is, our Jewish people for many, many ages didn't see them. At least didn't see them for what they really were. Didn't understand what they really were going to point to. They knew they were pointing to something, but they didn't really understand it fully what they were pointing to. But hey, they're not the only ones. Our Gentile people look and they say, look what's going on. But now they don't understand it either. Because you look back and you say, here are the hints that it's not just one people. There are two people who get saved by one God and by one Messiah. Two loaves of bread. Why are there two loaves of bread? It's an egg to show us what's going to happen in the future. What has happened for us already? Two loaves of bread. One way of salvation. It wasn't always lost on all the rabbis. And they may not want to admit to it. But some of the rabbis were going down the right trail at one time. Now, you know the name Rashi. We bring it up every once in a while. Second century, Spain, rabbi. One of the greats. Most influential Jewish commentator in history. And this is what he says. He says, in the ownerless wilderness was the Torah given to the people of Israel. For if it was given to the land of Israel, if it was given in the land of Israel, the residents of the land of Israel would say, it is ours. And if it was given in some other place, the residents of that place would say, it is ours. Therefore, it was given in the wilderness so that anyone who wishes to acquire it may acquire it. He knew one God, one way, one Torah, one Adonai, one way. He knew it wasn't meant to be just for our Jewish brethren. He said, if it was meant just for our Jewish brethren, it would have been he would have waited until we were in Israel and then given it to us. But he gave it to us where no one owned the land so that no one could take claim to Torah. It is for all people. You know, today being the second day of Shavuot, as I had said earlier, it's traditional to read the book of Ruth. And in it we see the story of a Moabite named Ruth who marries an Israelite and then becomes a widow, returns to Israel with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Because of her faith and acceptance of Adonai's ways, she marries a man named Boaz, a man of royal blood. She marries him, and what's the history? She becomes the grandmother of King David. She becomes in the lineage of the greatest king, that many will say is the greatest king in Israel's history. And if you don't want to call him the greatest king, maybe you call Solomon the greatest king, but guess what? She was his grandmother, great-grandmother. Still in the lineage. A Gentile in the lineage of the king. The king who's in the lineage of the Messiah. Why is there a Gentile in the lineage of our Jewish king and our Jewish Messiah? Because the lineage is supposed to show, maybe it's an egg, that it wasn't just for the Jews. It's a history and a salvation for both the Jews and the Gentiles. It's no accident that there's this Gentile, and not the only Gentile in the lineage. The mysteries of Scripture and Adonai are not easily understandable. And it's not to say that you need someone, you know, this great rabbi, and I'm not that great rabbi, you need this great rabbi to explain everything to you. You just need to read the Scriptures for yourself. You know, a commentary every now and then is great. Sitting together like this is great. But the only way it gets into your heart, the only way it gets into your head, is for you to do the study yourself. He needs to reveal it to us. That's what the Ruach HaKodesh is for. There have been times that Adonai only reveals a portion of himself to us, leaving us to wait and see what the rest will be. Look what this ancient rabbi says in his writings about Adonai. Because God appeared to them at the Red Sea as a mighty warrior, at Sinai, as a sage teaching Torah, in the days of Solomon, as a handsome lad, and in the times of Daniel, as a compassionate old man, God said to them, just because you perceive me in many guises, do not think that there are many gods. Rather, it is I who was at the sea. I who is at Sinai. I who is every place. I am God, your God. This is out of Talmud. I appear in many different ways, but it doesn't mean that I'm many different gods. This is the mystery. This is one of the mysteries. This seems to be forgotten by our Jewish people. He appears in many different ways, but he's still only one God. He appears as Adonai, the Father. That's easy. He appears as the Ruach. They can buy that. He appears as Yeshua, the Messiah. Whoa! We can't buy that one. The Talmud says he appears in many different ways, but don't think there are many different gods. Somehow, our brethren forgot this encouragement. This is the mystery of the scriptures, that both the Gentiles and the Jewish people are saved the same way. Both the Gentiles and the Jewish people are both saved by grace because of faith in Adonai. We say it's faith in Yeshua and his blood. Dot, dot, dot. Because that doesn't really finish the sentence. We believe in faith in Yeshua and his blood, dot, 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 who is Adonai, and who gave us the Messiah, who foretold it in the Torah, and this one fulfills the Torah. Not multiple gods, one God. Multiple guises. If you want to use guises, okay. You want to use the word guise, different ways of being seen. But it's still one God. God can't do that. God can do anything. God can appear as anything. He appeared as an angel to Abraham before going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. He appears when he wants, how he wants, to whom he wants. That's God. Don't try to limit. Don't put your limits on my God. He is a big, able God. That's the one who we honor and glorify. Rav Shaul says this about the mystery in Ephesians 3, 2 through 6. Ephesians 3, 2. Surely you have heard about the plan of God's grace given to me for you, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote before briefly. When you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Messiah, which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it is now been revealed by the Ruach to his holy emissaries and prophets. This mystery is that the Gentiles are joint heirs and fellow members of the same body, as co-sharers of the promise of Messiah Yeshua through the good news. He says the mystery was not known before this, but has been revealed by the Ruach. And again, he says, the mystery is that the Gentiles are joint heirs and fellow members of the same body and co-sharers of the promise in Messiah Yeshua through the good news. I'll add another mystery here. And the mystery is that somehow, over the centuries, this good news has been twisted to, it's the good news to the Jewish people to share with the world, to it's the good news for only the Gentiles not to share. The good news was always, here's the Torah, here's the prophecies, here's what I'm going to tell you about the Messiah who's coming. Now, here's history. Look how it's been fulfilled. Now Jewish people go out and tell about the Messiah. Because they've refused to. The harsh word. The Gentiles have the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, and it's up to them to go out and tell the Jewish nation now about their Messiah. I would prefer to think of it as both peoples are instructed to tell each other about the one Messiah, the only way to be saved, the only way to salvation, the only way through to eternity with Adonai. That's the mystery. How are two people going to be saved? That was the mystery. And the mystery is the same way, not different ways. The same God, not different gods. The same Messiah. Don't wait for a second Messiah. The second coming will be the same Messiah, but this time, instead of to give us direction, it's going to be to judge. And by then, it's going to be too late. You have to accept Messiah now. The Messiah. The one who fills prophecy. The one and only. Read the scriptures. See who Adonai says. Now that you have a little idea, maybe you don't accept all the eggs and the explanations of all the eggs that are being pointed out to you. Read the scripture and ask the Ruach to open your eyes so that you can see where all these little eggs are supposed to lead you to. Call them eggs, call them prophecies, call them mysteries, call them whatever you want. They were given to the Jewish people first and then the rest of the world. They were given to everybody. No longer important which order we got it. Doesn't matter, Jew first or the Gentiles. Who got it? They're both supposed to have it. I know we say to the Jew first and then to the Gentile, because that's the way the timeline worked. But it's not the way it is anymore. It's now to both people at the same time by the same method. And we need to get that word out there. So, if this is the first time you're hearing this, if you're Jewish and this is the first time you're hearing this, and you go into your scriptures and you read and you say, this sounds familiar, but I thought this was, you know, this was Catholic, or this was the church. Just open the mind and know that you are the foundation of the church. The Jewish people are the foundation of the church. And the church shouldn't be trying to step all over what we're calling the foundation, but building on it. And the foundation shouldn't be trying to throw off what Adonai plans to build on it. That's who we need to be. So if this is the first time you're hearing this, and you look into the scripture and you start seeing this, and you have questions, please feel free to email or call me. Let's discuss the questions that you have. Or go to someone who knows the scriptures that you trust. That's the call of Adonai. That's the mystery that you're called to today. Father, we thank you that you have let us know the answers to your mystery. You've revealed to us the hints, the clues throughout your scripture, throughout your old covenant, the clues that point us to the Messiah, the one and only, the one told to us in the new covenant. How I wish that people would know that there may be many year gaps between the end of the old covenant and the beginning of the new covenant, but there is no gap in your storyline. It flows smoothly from one to the other, as you've always desired it to be. Open the eyes of your people. Open the eyes of all people to see and know that you are Adonai, to see and know that your Messiah rules and reigns and lives even today. We thank you that you have made it known to us. We praise you and honor you and glorify you for your mercy and for your generosity in opening our eyes to who you are. We just thank you in Yeshua's name. Amen. Amen. It's a call to go out.